Hey, darling!
The translation Ajayi Crowther did in the 1800s is the main reason why one of the most important figures in the Yoruba religion is misunderstood. Some people claim it was something Ajayi Crowther did on purpose to spite his people for selling him into slavery, and in return, he sold their beloved Orisha. Hey there, what's good? What's up? Welcome. Welcome to the Muffy Joke Me podcast. Woo! What the fuck was that? I'm so sorry.
Are you not ashamed of yourself? Are you not embarrassed? This is really embarrassing.
Anyways, welcome guys to the Muffy Joke Me podcast. You know what I'm saying? Welcome back. Welcome back if you're a returning listener. If this is your first time on the show, I want to say a very big welcome. You know what I'm saying? This is your number one platform for all that good energy, the good vibes, positivity. That's what we're about here. This is a show where we talk about a whole lot of things, but we mainly focus on music, history, culture, you know, Nigerian history, especially, and African history. Sometimes I, the host, like to share with you guys personal experiences of mine, things that have happened to me that might be funny, you know, might be entertaining in whatever way it is, you know, just all around good energy, good vibes. That's what we are here. That's about the love, you know what I'm saying? Love.
To talk about it, love. Are you love or need that? You don't get love.
My name is Fumilola, aka Fumi Pepe. I'm saying Atarodo Tadwe Talenu. And once again, you're on the Mafe Jokwami podcast. So, you know what to do? What do you do? Or what do you have to do? I don't know. My period, Jolo, me, Mafe Jokwami. Just kidding. You've heard what this week's episode is about. So, that sounds like something nice. You know what to do? Grab yourself a couple. Grab yourself a bowl of water, or me. Tutu, and let's shake it. Let's get these. So before I start, Emabino, sorry for the interruption. I want to drop a few disclaimers. Disclaimer number one: I am not an historian. Neither am I. I'm probably one of the laziest researchers out there. So I apologize if everything is not like I said, I'm not an historian, so I apologize if I make any mistakes. So to all you ITKs, the ITunos, the oversabis that will come and be like, oh, Fumilola, you did this one, you think this one, this is not true. This suck your, you know what? Go and hug Transformer. I'm kidding. Just correct me, right? There might be a lot of mistakes. There might be mistakes here. I tried my best to research it as good as I can, but I'm very lazy still, so yeah. Please, yeah. Then number two, my Yoruba is actually not good. At least not that great, so I apologize if I butcher the names. Even though I'm Yoruba, I know I'm a Yoruba boy that I can't speak Yoruba well. It's a shame, but yo, I have a good reason. I'll tell you guys later, but maybe not today. And one of that disclaimer is there. Disclaimer number three. Can you disclaimer number three, no? Anyways, Otisapa me. It have run away from my head. What I was trying to say is that I can't remember what disclaimer number three is. So if I do, I'll say it. So yeah. Let's just get right into the episode.
Let's get these.
So, yes, guys, welcome to this week's episode, blah, blah, blah. I must say that I really enjoyed making this week's episode. I mean, it's one of those episodes that I ended up spending bare time, a lot of time researching and finding out things. Personally, that's what I love to do. I don't know, I have this thing for consuming. Should I say I have a thing for information? My curiosity level is so high. I just love finding out new things. And yeah, this was one of those things that caught my eye. And yo, it was so interesting and I enjoyed it personally.
That's what she said.
I hope I'm able to like inspire you guys to, you know, do your own digging into things like this. I mean, I'm just a curious type and I enjoyed doing all this. Move it on. Let's move on to why you guys are here, right? I'm sure you guys are here to find out how to support your favorite podcaster, isn't it? You know? Yeah, because some of you guys obviously don't care about content. Some of you lots, especially the ladies, can't get enough of this sweet, salesy voice. Sweet, sexy, melanin, sweet like crusher voice. Are you getting excited? I'm joking. Or am I? Does that mean machine sorry? See you, you're licking your lips. Iano, close your mouth. Putin drool, you're already drooling. I'm kidding. Let's see. I played too much in it. Let's just get into the topic of discussion for today. So to understand who Eshu really is, I need to give you guys a basic understanding of how the Yoruba faith system is structured and how Eshu fits into it. So before we proceed, there are some misconceptions I'll have to clear up, and there are a few, so I'll just, there are a lot of misconceptions anyway, but I first love to clear these ones before we can move on. So misconception number one, the idea that the Yoruba pantheon is like polytheistic. That's such a hard word to pronounce. I don't know. Polytheistic. For those guys at the back that don't know, it just means like the belief that like there are many gods and all, or one or more gods. And yeah, that is totally false. The Yorubas don't believe that. In fact, the Yorubas are one of the like the strictest religions when it comes to the idea of there being one supreme ruler who is like, or what have you. And in this case, it happens to be Olodumare or Eledumare, the same being, but Yoruba people pronounce some words like, see, don't mafejo pami Olodumare, Eledumare, same being. So Olodumare is basically the creator of everything. Olodumare is the supreme being who sits above every and anyone else. The Yorubas believe that Olodumare transcends our human understanding, and as such, we can't fully like comprehend Olodumare, at least not in our current state, which is why Olodumare has no description or physical representation. Neither does Olodumare have a gender, so it's very common to refer to Olodumare as they or it, but it's more common to use they, so in case I later on say that or what have you, yeah, you understand why. So, Olodumare is the owner of Ashe, which is essentially, should I say, the life force or life energy. It drives both the spiritual realm, which is referred to as Orun, and the physical world known as Aye. Olodumare manifests this Ashe, the energy, life energy, life force, in our physical realm through nature itself, the trees, the grass, you know, the sun. And you and I were all brought through Ashe. Olodumare reigns in their realm at the headship of X number of Irumoles plus one. And Irumoles, which can also be referred to as Orishas, are essentially heavenly entities that help to connect us to Olodumare. Because like I said, in our current state, we are unable to connect with them. So yeah. Olodumare created the Irumoles too. And I said an X number because of, quite frankly, I couldn't really find an actual number because I did my research and in some places I saw 400, in some places I saw 800, And in fact, in one place I saw 1,440, but the one thing that was constant was the idea of a plus one, which the plus one is meant to represent the unknown. So yeah, Olodumare basically reigns above all these Irumoles, whatever number they are, plus one. Yeah. In the Yoruba religion, the ultimate goal for a human is to achieve enough enlightenment that sort of allows you to transcend to the spiritual realm where you would be able to interact with Olodumare. To be able to achieve said enlightenment, the Yorubas seek help from the Irumoles, like I said, which are able to evoke some manifestations of Olodumare. The Irumoles are basically links. They help link the physical world, aye, to the spiritual, the heavenly world. That's basically what they are. And they are associated with the ability to control specific aspects of nature. The Yorubas also believe in the concept of ancestors becoming guardians that can also help you achieve enlightenment or on your journey to enlightenment, which is quite frankly why the Yorubas are, I think the Yorubas are obsessed with respect. And if you're a Yoruba, I'm sure you can relate, or if you've ever interacted with Yoruba people are so big on respect, because hey, this is somebody that is going to guide you and lead you to the, you know, wherever, and you're not going to respect me, you're not going to give me my flowers when I'm alive. Are you mad or something?
Hang your balls. Okay.
But yeah, let's move on. But anyways, guys, I'd really love to go deeper and break down the entire structure, but I'm low-key saving that for another episode, because if I do go any further, we didn't have much time to discuss today's topic. Yeah, so let me skip some parts and let's just move on. So yeah, remember the Orishas, yeah? Well, I tried to check for a list of them, but in trying to find out a list, I discovered something actually interesting, that the true number or the exact number of Orishas are, quite frankly, infinite plus one, remember? But like in practice, there can literally be an Orisha for anything you can think of. Orisha of food, of water, air, light, bro, anything, as long as you put plus one. I also found out that there are some Orishas that the Yorubas revere more than others. In fact, they are somewhat of a fantastic eight. And these eight include Ogun, Shango, Oshun, Oya, Yemoja, Obatala, Orunmila, and of course, Eshu. In the future, I'd love to pick these Orishas one at a time and do an episode on each of them, because honestly, they truly deserve it, because they have interesting stories and so much complexities to them. In fact, I found out that there are rumors that Storm, if you're familiar with X-Men, I think you know Storm, was inspired by Oshun. Yeah, but yeah, that's a story for another day. Let's talk about Eshu. Eshu. Osan Sokoto Wenpen Onibode Oluorun, which translates to one who wears short pants and guards the way between man and the heavens. What I just read is one of Eshu's numerous orikis, which orikis are basically appraisals, a ways the Yoruba, sort of like poems that the Yorubas used to appraise people, things, or whatever. This oriki just goes to show you how the Yorubas view Eshu, and how this view is quite frankly different from what you would naturally want to think when you hear the word or the name Eshu. Eshu is the custodian of Olodumare's Ashe. Eshu is the Orisha that resides above all the however many plus one Irumoles that exist. Eshu is practically Olodumare's right hand man in Aye, or in the world, in the physical realm, and is in charge of overseeing the activities of humans and even other Irumoles. Eshu is regarded by many as the most powerful and the most feared due to the sheer amount of power he wields. The Yorubas believe Eshu is the master of languages and as such is in charge of carrying prayers from us humans to Olodumare. He's also in charge of carrying orders from Olodumare's down to humans through other Orishas, and he also any message the Orishas have, or like he helps even the Orishas communicate with Olodumare. The Yorubas believe that Eshu has the ability to change his form at will, and in fact, it is said that he has over 200 forms that he takes, and that these different forms have different functions. So in practice, Eshu has like over 200 plus, should I say, functions or roles he plays in the Yoruba religion. And some of the more popular forms of Eshu, I would have said the names, but I'm not sure because different forms have different names, but I'm not sure of the names or how to pronounce them, so I'll just skip them from now. But yeah, I'll try to drop as a list of as many as I can on my Twitter, so you can come. If you can help me tie the knots or connect the dots, I'd really appreciate. So the first form, or one of the more popular form of Eshu, is Eshu the Trickster. Eshu the Trickster. In this form, Eshu is somewhat of a prankster, and is said to prank or play tricks on humans. This form of Eshu is referred to as the Chief of Mischief, the author of confusion, as he is said to use things that is said to do things like this to protect humanity. This form of Eshu isn't shy to use things that we might regard as evil to guide or protect humanity if necessary. Another form of Eshu is Eshu the Enforcer. In this form, Eshu is in charge of dishing out punishment to those that deserve it. He is said to be very impatient, but at the same time doesn't take sides and judges with a very hard hand. He is said to be like ruthless. He doesn't joke around, no messing around. He's all about the business, you get me? And the business is justice, and he makes sure he gets justice for those that deserve justice. Which is why the Yorubas usually say "Eni mo ku, eni ko mo." I didn't say that right, but what that means is he who knows him dares not challenge him, and he who challenges him definitely doesn't know him, because if you do, you will know not to mess with, you know. Are you mad or something? Eshu also has his benevolent side. In fact, the Yorubas refer to Eshu as Baba, which translates to father. Due to the fact that Eshu loves humanity and he doesn't want evil to befall humanity, because he sees humans as being, you know, we are fragile at the end of the day. We lack knowledge, we're like babies. And Eshu is like this big brother, practically our father. Because Olodumare is too big to come and be doing things like this for us. So that's what Eshu does. And in fact, most times, Eshu is the one that prompts other Orishas to help humans. Most times, he pleads on our behalf. Which is why the Yorubas say, "Elekun sunkun, Eshu nsunje," which translates to, the owner of the problem is shedding tears when Eshu is shedding blood. Which, yeah, just goes to show you that the extent to which Eshu cares about us. You get it. Carry our matter for it like Ushuka. like Bona once said. Another role that Eshu plays is that he's the lord of the Ajoguns, which are the evil forces, or should I say negativities, that exist. There are 8 Ajoguns, and these 8 are death, pestilence, loss, paralysis, trouble, curse, bondage, and iniquity. I'll do an episode explaining all this in like better details later. So these negativities are all under the authority of Eshu. Although they tend to act to derail humanities from their journey to enlightenment, they still all report to Eshu. And the Yorubas believe that when humans are in contact with any of the Ajoguns and they run to Eshu for help, that usually it's said that you offer ebos, which are sacrifices, which could be like food and all that, that it should instruct the Ajogun to carry out or act or do whatever they want to do on that particular Ebo rather than the human. So for example, if you have an encounter with Iku, and obviously death, Iku is death by the way, and obviously death comes to visit you, you're like, oh, you are going to die, and you run to Eshu for help, and Eshu asks you to bring an Ebo, and the Ebo is like, let's say chicken for example, that when you offer that sacrifice, he could come and take the chicken instead of you, and he does that because that's what Eshu asks it to do. So yeah, and that also when Eshu wants to punish somebody, he would send the Ajoguns your way. So yeah, don't mess with Eshu because Eshu never lacks 8 guns ready to. So to every like Orisha that can exist, because remember I told you your moles are infinite, there can be an Orisha for fire. There is also a corresponding a form of Eshu to that works hand in hand with that Orisha to carry out whatever it is you want. So in reality, Eshu is extremely relevant in the Yoruba culture. So the idea of Eshu being someone who would be evil or oppose the will of Olodumare is quite frankly ridiculous. Well, ridiculous. Because one of Eshu's main attributes is that Eshu doesn't do evil or is not involved with evil. Eshu Unsheka. Oh my gosh, I'm butchering this a lot, but I want to say it. I promise I'll get better. Now, also that Eshu Unparo. Eshu doesn't tell lies, which is why he is loved and adored by both humans and the Orishas. The translation Ajayi Crowther did in the 1800s is the main reason why one of the most important figures in the Yoruba religion is misunderstood. Some people claim it was something Ajayi Crowther did on purpose to spite his people for selling him into slavery, and in return, he sold their beloved Orisha. While others claimed Ajayi Crowther is actually correct and that Eshu is indeed Satan or the devil, that all Ajayi Crowther did was to connect the missing dots. After all, there is a story that says that Eshu's mischiefs was one of the reasons Olodumare left the earth to go live in the Orun, and that Eshu was also able to convince Olodumare to give him control over the physical realm, which he did. But also we can't forget that Ajayi Crowther was kidnapped when he was only 12 and most likely lacked a lot of understanding about the faith system. But upon close examination of the Yoruba religion, you would see that like the Satan character doesn't seem to exist due to the fact that the Yorubas believe that there isn't a being that can oppose Olodumare. Even if you wanted to try, you just can't. Olodumare is so much superior than any being that would ever exist there. And that even if that character were to exist, it cannot be Eshu. Definitely not Eshu. To be honest, there is a lot. When I mean a lot, there is a whole lot of things about Eshu that I was unable to explain or tell in this episode. Because quite frankly, I don't have that much knowledge myself. And it was like the more I researched, the more I found out. And it's, you know, you find out that, oh, you don't even know, you've not gotten the full story. So I have to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And
that's what she said.
It would take such a long time to do an extensive cover, but what I hope I've been able to do is sort of like raise that curiosity in you, and you can go further and make more research on your own. So I'll drop links to things I used to research and all. But if you have, or you understand this thing, or if you have like resources that I could read up to gain more knowledge, I would really love that. But trust me, the Eshu character is so much, way much more complex than I explained in this episode. So anyways, that's it guys, that's it for this week's episode. Like I said earlier on, I had a lot of, when I mean a lot, I mean loads of fun making this episode. So if you did enjoy it, please just tell me if you guys would want me to do something similar to this episode. Like I said, I have the intention of doing one episode that breaks down the Yoruba pantheon, the Yoruba faith system, and sort of like explain everything in full details. Trust me, that episode, I'm already working on that. I could also do episodes on the other Orishas and on. And also, guys, remember to subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening on, so you get those notifications as soon as the episodes are out. Come follow Mafejopami on Twitter at MafejopamiPod. That's M-A-F-E-J-O. Why do I even spell this out? I'm going to say Yaolo Dona. You guys are not dummies. Why do I even do that? Well, yeah, come drop what you think about the episode. That's the one place you can reach me. And yeah, if you have any questions you want to ask, anything at all you want to tell me, things I missed, I might have mixed up or what have you, come on Twitter and let's have fun. That might have come out weird. Or did it? But yeah, that's it for now. As usual, remember guys, stay jiggy, drink water, hydrate, mind your business. Remember, we're all about love, spread positivity, good vibes, good energy. But most importantly, Joe, Mafejopami.